City, Nevada, where we have guests who know topics that matter. Before we get into our special guest for today, let me remind you that one of our former guests, Colonel James Bogue Wrights, will appear Monday on Travis Hip's program on this station from 10 until noon here on KPTL 1300. That's Monday from 10 until 12. If you haven't already done so, you might want to stop by Don Golden's Econolubin Tune at 2777 South Carson Street, where you see the big Bogue Wrights sign and sign up to get Bo on the ballot. Time's getting short. During this past week, we've been telling you of this program with our guest, Commander Giorgio Ceres Hatton, who may give us some insight into what's in store for planet Earth and what we can do to protect against it. We may also discuss such subjects as the Nevada State Bank, the Nevada Silver Coin, United States Notes, and the coming economic debacle in Japan. Commander Hatton may be able to show us how all this relates to Mr. Bush's New World Order, or the New World Odor, depending upon your point of view. But first, let me explain a little bit about our means of communication with our guest. There is a telephone line from the studio to Tehachapi, California, where another former guest of this program, George Green, is standing by with Dharma, who is the communications link. That's why we'll be hearing from Commander Hatton through a woman's voice. Dharma has transcribed much material into written form. Those who may wish to read up on the material that is being made available from Commander Hatton can stop by Nevada Business Services at 675 Fairview, number 207, where Marianne Dickens has made available over 56 books that are called the Phoenix Journals. They are soft cover on a wide range of topics. Marianne also has current and back copies of the Phoenix Liberator, which is a weekly publication. Commander Hatton, welcome to KPTL Talk Radio in Carson City, Nevada.
Well, I appreciate your asking me to be with you this morning.
It's our pleasure, and particularly in the company of our friend George Green. Commander, I've been intrigued and impressed with some of the material you've provided through the Phoenix Liberators, dealing with many of the same subjects that we've discussed on this program. But before we get into these important matters, I understand there's a subject of some urgency that we should cover first. What is the photon belt? What hazards does it present? How imminent is our engagement with it? And what can we do to minimize the hazards?
Wow. How long do I have?
Well, we have 2 hours. We should break in about 10 or 15 minutes for commercials, and we'll have one more break before the top of the hour at 11 o'clock.
Well, let me first just briefly describe why and what we're talking about.
Good.
Why I'm talking about it at this particular time is because I'm barraged with questions about it, which would probably not be recognizable to even ones in my group. But I have quite a few scientists that are continually petitioning me as to when everything is to come down. Now, this is assuming that ones on a higher frequency than you know everything. I, number one, never give specific dates, because there are too many ways to tamper with those dates, and then I simply become a false speaker. And that's the way the advertisement will then go out. Well, I asked you a question, you gave me a false answer. On the other hand, my purpose for being with you ones is not to entertain, but strictly as a matter of being among the hosts. Come back to your place. And our last cycling was from Pleiades. And believe it or not, this is going to have something to do with that photon belt. What is known about your place, and has been known for some long, long period of time, is that there is such a thing as a photon belt. This is made up of electrons, positrons, negative charge particles, which when they integrate, there is a catalytic, if you will, reaction or an integration of these particles, and they form what is called light or photons. in your language. They become light and they become very reflective. It's very hard to find this photon belt until you fly into it and you've sent quite a few of your satellites into it, never to return. Actually, they are much more efficient functioning within the belt. But it's sort of like a stealth shield. It's a little bit hard to go in and locate something because scientists of your place poo-pooed it, because it comes around regularly every 24,000 years, whether you like it or don't like it, it's there. Now, that's what it is. Why it is important is because from the scientific measurements on your place, not mine, yours, you will be coming into that belt toward the end of your July. Now that becomes a serious transition. Why is it important, and what connects you, Earthians, with we, Pleiadians? Now, I'm not going to complicate this by talking about myself other than, let us call it Pleiadian hosts coming to your planet at this time.
Now, to give our listeners some idea of Pleiades and where it is, this would be what we call the Little Dipper?
Well, it's the Wee Dipper. It's smaller than the Little Dipper. It's what is known on your place as the Seven Sisters constellation. It is the constellation that has played the major part in all mythology on your place.
Yes,
all mythology, from the Aboriginal Dreamtime in Australia, all of the ancient wisdom keepers have always referred to the Seven Sisters. Very, very important in Greek mythology. That is because that is where your race basically comes from.
Is it part of our Milky Way galaxy?
Yes. In fact, what happens here is that you are the seventh distant from the central sun of Pleiades, which is called Alcyon. As you pass into this photon belt, you will be picking up. It can be either rapidly or it can be a gradual transition depending on the amount of energy poured into this system. And your own scientists are pouring a lot of energy into the system to try to back this thing off a little while. Because once you are into the photon belt, a lot of things are going to be happening on your place. And your elite controllers will not be able to control it like they can at this moment. You have to realize that everything on your planet at this day is totally controlled by an elite cartel of human beings. They may have been taught from other sources, but it's very definitely human. You have no enemies coming to you from outer space at this time. None. Zero. But you have manufactured a whole army for us to use later if we need to do that. But we won't go into that right now. Let's talk about that photon belt. Where you're going to have your biggest impact is as you move into that boundary layer. It will take probably up to 110 hours for the Earth moving at the speed it is to pass through that entry belt and into the mass of the photon belt. Now, what can you expect? You can expect those 3 days of darkness, for instance, that is spoken of in your holy book. I'll talk about that later too, but right now we'll talk about what is traditionally recognized by you ones. If Earth moves into that belt before your sun, you can count on 4 to 5 days in darkness. As you move into it, it will seem like total darkness at a moonless night, say 3 o'clock in the morning, at your darkest point. Only it will seem even darker because it will be a different kind of darkness. Then as you begin to adjust to this darkness, all things, all life forms, which is everything, will become a little bit luminescent. In other words, after a little while into this darkness, you will be able to glow. You're going to radiate some amount of light. Because in a living environment, there is no such thing as total void of light. Although I would say your planet's getting pretty close to that on its surface with the people involved. If the sun moves in, I have just made a blundering error. I realize that, and I now have to apologize. That is what will happen if the sun moves into this boundary layer first. Will come darkness, because you would be shaded, you see, by the sun from the light, and you will move into darkness. If the earth moves into this boundary layer first, you will be absolutely faced with the most incredible light that you will have ever experienced. It would be like a midday sun, only it will be as if your entire atmosphere is on fire. Now, one way to control this photon belt, if you will, which, by the way, you will travel through for some 2,000 years of your counting. But what is taking place at this particular time with the Lee scientists is to ignite the radioactive belt around your planet, which will cause a reaction with these photons, and they can, in great numbers, be just leached out. The problem with this is when you ignite the radioactive belt, you create a light so brilliant, and it will take some 3 days to burn that radioactive belt. And if you do this, it is going to blind all humans who look into that light. And ones make a great deal of fun when I suggest that everyone get as dark a pair of goggles as you can get for welding and keep them handy with you, because your own people are tinkering with that radioactive belt right now, and you can sweat blood and tears until that satellite is launched and your space shuttle is back home. It did not go into orbit. It has gone high enough to launch another satellite with one more attempt to ignite that radioactive belt. And I can only suggest that you protect your eyes. You're going to be out on the road, many of you. And can you imagine what will happen to this planet? Because it's going to go instantly. It will just encircle your globe. And depending on where it's ignited, and I will tell you that it's planned to be ignited off your shore so that you would have some 15 to 20 minutes at least to get your goggles on and get into protection to protect your eyes. As we have studied the darkness or the density of sheltering for your eyes, we find that the very darkest layered goggles for a welder will protect you. And so will the darkest. You would have to get plates for the darkest density for a welder's helmet. The thing is to protect eyes from that instant glare. It will burn the retina and you will be blinded, and that can be permanent.
And would it also be a good idea to stay indoors?
Absolutely. Stay, get home, get into security, keep the glasses on, cover the windows with something. I will tell you something that's very good. Shades will not be sufficient, probably. get these little mountain packs that look like aluminum foil and just tack those up over your windows. That will stop the blast of light that will come in, and stay inside until it begins to fade.
Now, what effect will it have on our electrical commercial power grid?
For that period of time, everything electrical will go down. It will negate every electrical thing that you have, including your generators, your automobiles. You have heard of encounters with flying craft, wherein all electrical systems stop. Everything will stop. You will not even be able to pick up battery-powered instrumentation or electronic gear if it is working on a typical battery system. This is because you have just nullified positive negative electrons. And there will be this period while they are changing into these photons that you will not have the ability to create electricity. Now, there are some solar panels that may continue to function. Don't be panicked about this. Just know and prepare. Stay inside. The hardest thing that I see is that no hospital is prepared for this unless ones are willing to pump by hand these respirators and life support systems. You on the air, even with your backup generation system, probably will be put off the air.
And so we should be laying in food and water, because if the electrical system goes down, we would have a limited amount of storage so far as our population here in Carson City or another city is concerned. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. But all you're worried about right now is this 3 to 5 days. I would suggest, and ones in this particular location have been making sure that they have a little gas-fired burner so that you can heat water. Mostly you can survive quite nicely for that period of time on cold things. But you're going to have to remember you will not have refrigeration, so my suggestion is to keep those freezers completely locked shut, and they will hold during that period of time. By the end of the 4th to 5th day, the power should be coming back in bits and pieces, and then by the end of the 5th day, that is on the outside of our calculations, you should be back into normal power.
Very good. Let's take a commercial break now, and we'll be right back with our guest, Commander Hatton. Okay, we're getting some static. We're in commercials now, but we're getting some static. George, is there something that you notice there by way of static when the commander speaks?
No, I don't notice anything at all.
Okay, it may be internal to this system here.
Dave, I have to tell you that every time I go onto the air, And I might warn you of this. I spoke with ones in Vermont, and their entire system was shut down. They don't like me on the air.
Oh, okay.
So if you begin to have upsurges of power, don't hesitate to just cut this off.
Just a moment.
This is probably the worst place next to your office to have this call made.
Okay, the engineer says we'll have another 15. 15 minutes before the next commercial break, then another 10 minutes before we come up to the top of the hour. We generally go right up to 11 o'clock.
Whatever, just you guide it, I'll follow.
Very good. Unfortunately, our volunteer recording man, who generally looks after a tape, is not here, and I neglected to get the tape going for that first segment.
Well, aren't you lucky that we have one going?
Okay, good. This is Dave Horton, back with our guest, Commander Hatman, and we've been discussing ways to protect against... now, I gather that this is a solar system. In other words, our entire solar system is entering this photon belt. Is that correct?
Yes.
And ways to protect against it. One is to take standard civil defense measures of having food and water supplies on hand. Another is to try to find an area in your home where you can block out intense light that can cause retinal damage. And this can be done with the aluminum reflecting blankets that are in some survival packs. Another source would be aluminum backed fiberglass bats that could be stuffed into windows conveniently. And then this is an emergency that would last something on the order of 3 to 5 days. Is that correct?
Correct.
And we would be without electricity, so we'd need to keep our freezers closed so as to avoid losing the food that's inside. Of course, if we get hungry in the meantime and have to eat it, some of it may thaw, so we may have to figure on how to consume part of it during this period of time. Now, is there anything else that we should bear in mind with regard to this particular hazard?
Well, what you must bear in mind is that this is something that comes around periodically, like every 24,000 years. And I don't mean to make light of that. This is a natural phenomenon. It can be played with, if you will, and your scientists are really playing with it. And you will note that they are telling you that there are one or two or three other planets coming into your solar system, and all to do is made about it, and great mysticism is put forth. The thing I want to impress upon all listeners is that this is ridiculous. There is nothing, including God, that doesn't have a reasonable explanation. Don't turn to mysticism. Wearing a purple shirt is not going to save your eyes. On the other hand, taking reasonable caution and being prepared can save both your eyes and your life.
Now, is there any mortal danger other than loss of sight that is involved? In other words, if we are out between here and Reno, and we are subjected to intense light, we could presumably stop the car and cover our heads to keep light out of our eyes. But if we are in a vehicle, for example, are we going to be subjected to any other kind of potential damage?
Should not. I say should not because if, in fact, your people ignite that radioactive belt, two things will happen. This will release radioactivity into the atmosphere, which by next year should be falling out anyway. You have so much radioactivity in the atmosphere now. And you think gravity is something that pulls you. It is not. Everything seeks its own density, and therefore heavier particles will fall out of the finer atmosphere onto Earth. And right now, all of you are undergoing radiation poison anyway. It's already falling out on you. From all the testing, all of the remarkable things that you, as Earth people, have done. This is not to frighten you. If you are in a car, lean over and bury your face. Do that first. Just pull to the side, stop, and bury your face. This should be a cold blast of light. It should not be heated, as in an atomic blast that burns also.
Yes.
Although if they ignite the radioactive belt simultaneously with this, heat can be created. And, of course, the ideal thing is to protect yourself from it.
And protecting oneself from the cold light would presumably protect us some also from heat radiation.
Oh, yes. Yes. And you will find from the Hiroshima and Nagasaki explosions of atomic energy, ones who were just protected even by cloth sometimes were not burned.
Yes, and I think our own atmospheric tests at the Nevada test site showed that cloth, although if you had a dark spot on a cotton blouse, for example, it would burn through.
Well, yes.
White would reflect and give protection from the radiation of heat that otherwise would burn. They used mannequins instead of people, but you could see the effect from the video or the motion pictures that they took at that time.
Yes.
Well, let us turn then to one of our subjects. Let me introduce our guest a little further. This is a quote from one of the journals that is available here in Carson City at Mary Ann's place. This is a quote out of journal number 8 from page 4. You in America must save your nation from dictatorship and bank ownership. That means you must save your Constitution and bring your nation and the vipers who have stolen it into and under control, unquote. Now, this is one of the reasons why I've asked Commander Hatton to come on the air with us, because there appears to be a community of interest here with regard to the importance of saving our Constitution. Those of us in Nevada who have studied it a bit can see many of the advantages of that. But what might be worthwhile to explain to our listeners is why saving our Constitution has an important effect upon planet Earth. Commander Hatton, could you take that one?
Yes. I don't want to offend Northern Germany, for instance, or Southern Greece. I don't want to get into religious factors here until we're into a subject like that. But you ones are going to have to understand that even religions have been corrupted. And your globe is now coming under control of the what we refer to as the elite cartel, or the planners of Plan 2000. Now, we have discussed all of this in the journals, so I know I'm going to lose a lot of readers or listeners right now because they're not going to understand.
Well, hasn't Dr. Coleman written a book that covers a good bit of this?
Yes, and
Grant has copies of that available too.
I have brought at least 5 volumes on business, etc. myself. Dr. Coleman's is the one that I recommend because it confirms everything that I have told you.
Right.
And it is from Earth Research. Ones somehow don't care for a disembodied voice that has to have a translator. But nonetheless, we're stuck with that at this particular time. Now, what we're talking about is a constitution which was built and a nation founded under God. Now, mind you, I did not say Jesus. I might well have said Jesus had they literally not come up with that particular name until after the young man that was the master teacher was already away from Jerusalem. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, labeled him Jesus, but much later while he traveled in Greece. So let's put that aside. Do not confuse when I use the term Christ to Jesus. Jesus Christ is perfectly suitable as long as you know what you're saying. But when the United States of America, or let us just say the Americas, was founded, it was chosen by God as a place to bring forth and hold forth the light of freedom upon a foundation whereby the world would have guidelines. And it would be the shining example. And this happened. Immediately, it was recognized there were errors in your constitution, which were rectified basically by your so-called Bill of Rights. After the Bill of Rights, you could junk it. But up through the Bill of Rights, this was written by your founding fathers to give appreciate your asking me to be with you this morning.
It's our pleasure, and particularly in the company of our friend George Green. Commander, I've been intrigued and impressed with some of the material you've provided through the Phoenix Liberators, dealing with many of the same subjects that we've discussed on this program. But before we get into these important matters, I understand there's a subject of some urgency that we should cover first. What is the photon belt? What hazards does it present? How imminent is our engagement with it? And what can we do to minimize the hazards?
Wow. How long do I have?
Well, we have 2 hours. We should break in about 10 or 15 minutes for commercials, and we'll have one more break before the top of the hour at 11 o'clock.
Well, let me first just briefly describe why and what we're talking about. Why I'm talking about it at this particular time is because I'm barraged with questions about it, which would probably not be recognizable to even ones in my group. But I have quite a few scientists that are continually petitioning me as to when everything is to come down. Now, this is assuming that ones on a higher frequency than you know everything. I, number one, never give specific dates because there are too many ways to tamper with those dates, and then I simply become a false speaker. And that's the way the advertisement will then go out. Well, I asked you a question, you gave me a false answer. On the other hand, my purpose for being with you ones is not to entertain, but strictly as a matter of being among the hosts. Come back to your place. And our last cycling was from Pleiades. And believe it or not, this is going to have something to do with that photon belt. What is known about your place and has been known for some long, long period of time is that there is such a thing as a photon belt. This is made up of electrons, positrons, negative charge particles, which when they integrate, there is a catalytic, if you will, reaction or an integration of these particles, and they form what is called light or photons in your language. They become light and they become very reflective. It's very hard to find this photon belt until you fly into it and you've sent quite a few of your satellites into it, never to return. Actually, they are much more efficient functioning within the belt, but it's sort of like a stealth shield. It's a little bit hard to go in and locate something because scientists of your place poo-pooed it, because it comes around regularly every 24,000 years, whether you like it or don't like it, it's there. Now, that's what it is. Why it is important is because from the scientific measurements on your place, not mine, yours, you will be coming into that belt toward the end of your July. Now that becomes a serious transition. Why is it important, and what connects you, Earthians, with we, Pleiadians? Now, I'm not going to complicate this by talking about myself other than, let us call it Pleiadian hosts coming to your planet at this time.
Now, to give our listeners some idea of Pleiades and where it is, this would be what we call the Little Dipper?
Well, it's the Wee Dipper. It's smaller than the Little Dipper. It's what is known on your place as the Seven Sisters constellation. It is the constellation that has played the major part in all mythology on your place.
Yes,
all mythology, from the Aboriginal Dreamtime in Australia, all of the ancient wisdom keepers have always referred to the Seven Sisters. Very, very important in Greek mythology. That is because that is where your race basically comes from.
Is it part of our Milky Way galaxy?
Yes. In fact, what happens here is that you are the seventh distant from the central sun of Pleiades, which is called Alcyone. As you pass into this photon belt, you will be picking up. It can be either rapidly or it can be a gradual transition depending on the amount of energy poured into this system. And your own scientists are pouring a lot of energy into the system to try to back this thing off a little while. Because once you are into the photon belt, a lot of things are going to be happening on your place. And your elite controllers will not be able to control it like they can at this moment. You have to realize that everything on your planet at this day is totally controlled by an elite cartel of human beings. They may have been taught from other sources, but it's very definitely human. You have no enemies coming to you from outer space at this time. None. Zero. But you have manufactured a whole army for us to use later if we need do that. But we won't go into that right now. Let's talk about that photon belt, where you're going to have your biggest impact is as you move into that boundary layer, it will take probably up to 110 hours for the Earth moving at the speed it is to pass through that entry belt and into the mass of the photon belt. Now, what can you expect? You can expect those 3 days of darkness, for instance, that is spoken of in your holy book. I'll talk about that later too, but right now we'll talk about what is traditionally recognized by you ones. If Earth moves into that belt before your sun, you can count on 4 to 5 days in darkness. As you move into it, it will seem like total darkness at a moonless night, say 3 o'clock in the morning, at your darkest point. Only it will seem even darker because it will be a different kind of darkness. Then as you begin to adjust to this darkness, all things, all life forms, which is everything, will become a little bit luminescent. In other words, after a little while into this darkness, you will be able to glow. You're going to radiate some amount of light, because in a living environment, there is no such thing as total void of light. Although I would say your planet's getting pretty close to that on its surface with the people involved. If the sun moves in, I have just made a blundering error. I realize that. And I now have to apologize. That is what will happen if the sun moves into this boundary layer first. Will come darkness, because you would be shaded, you see, by the sun from the light, and you will move into darkness. If the Earth moves into this boundary layer first, you will be absolutely faced with the most incredible light that you will have ever experienced. It would be like a midday sun, only it will be as if your entire atmosphere is on fire. Now, one way to control this photon belt, if you will, which, by the way, you will travel through for some 2,000 years of your counting. But what is taking place at this particular time with the LEE scientists is to ignite the radioactive belt around your planet, which will cause a reaction with these photons, and they can, in great numbers, be just leached out. The problem with this is when you ignite the radioactive belt, you create a light so brilliant, and it will take some 3 days to burn that radioactive belt. And if you do this, it is going to blind all humans who look into that light. And ones make a great deal of fun when I suggest that everyone get as dark a pair of goggles as you can get for welding, and keep them handy with you, because your own people are tinkering with that radioactive belt right now, and you can sweat blood and tears until that satellite is launched and your space shuttle is back home. It did not go into orbit. It has gone high enough to launch another satellite with one more attempt to ignite that radioactive belt. And I can only suggest that you protect your eyes. You're going to be out on the road, many of you. And can you imagine what will happen to this planet? Because it's going to go instantly. It will just encircle your globe. And depending on where it's ignited, and I will tell you that it's planned to be ignited off your shore so that you would have some 15 to 20 minutes at least to get your your goggles on and get into protection to protect your eyes. As we have studied the darkness or the density of sheltering for your eyes, we find that the very darkest layered goggles for a welder will protect you. And so will the darkest, you would have to get plates for the darkest density for a welder's helmet. The thing is to protect eyes from that instant glare. It will burn the retina and you will be blinded, and that can be permanent.
And would it also be a good idea to stay indoors?
Absolutely. Stay, get home, get into security, keep the glasses on, cover the windows with something. I will tell you something that's very good. Shades will not be sufficient, probably. Get these little mountain packs that look like aluminum foil and just tack those up over your windows. That will stop the blast of light that will come in, and stay inside until it begins to fade.
Now, what effect will it have on our electrical commercial power grid?
For that period of time, everything electrical will go down. It will negate every electrical thing that you have, including your generators, your automobiles. You have heard of encounters with flying craft, wherein all electrical systems stop. Everything will stop. You will not even be able to pick up battery-powered instrumentation or electronic gear if it is working on a typical battery system. This is because you have just nullified positive negative electrons. And there will be this period while they are changing into these photons that you will not have the ability to create electricity. Now, there are some solar panels that may continue to function. Don't be panicked about this. Just know and prepare. Stay inside. The hardest thing that I see is that no hospital is prepared for this, unless ones are willing to pump by hand these respirators and life support systems. You on the air, even with your backup generation system, probably will be put off the air.
And so we should be laying in food and water, because if the electrical system goes down, we would have a limited amount of storage so far as our population here in Carson City or another city is concerned. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. But all you're worried about right now is this 3 to 5 days. I would suggest, and ones in this particular location have been making sure that they have a little gas-fired burner so that you can heat water. Mostly you can survive quite nicely for that period of time on cold things. But you're going to have to remember you will not have refrigeration, so my suggestion is to keep those freezers completely locked shut, and they will hold during that period of time. By the end of the 4th to 5th day, the power should be coming back in bits and pieces, and then by the end of the 5th day, that is on the outside of our calculations, you should be back into normal power.
Very good. Let's take a commercial break now, and we'll be right back with our guest, Commander Hatton. Okay, we're getting some static. We're in commercials now, but we're getting some static. George, is there something that you notice there by way of static when the commander speaks?
No, I don't notice anything at all.
Okay, it may be internal to this system here.
Dave, I have to tell you that every time I go onto the air, And I might warn you of this. I spoke with ones in Vermont, and their entire system was shut down. They don't like me on the air.
Oh, okay.
So if you began to have upsurges of power, don't hesitate
sure.
to just okay, cut this
I'll,
off.
Just a moment. So I have long enough to start the
This is probably the worst place next to your office to have this call made. Whatever, just you guide it, I'll follow.
Very good. Unfortunately, our volunteer recording man, who generally looks after a tape, is not here, and I neglected to get the tape going for that first segment.
Well, aren't you lucky that we have one going?
Okay, good. This is Dave Horton, back with our guest, Commander Hatton, and we've been discussing ways to protect against... now, I gather that this is a solar system. In other words, our entire solar system is entering this photon belt. Is that correct?
Yes.
And ways to protect against it. One is to take standard civil defense measures of having food and water supplies on hand. Another is to try to find an area in your home where you can block out intense light that can cause retinal damage. And this can be done with the aluminum reflecting blankets that are in some survival packs. Another source would be aluminum-backed fiberglass bats that could be stuffed into windows conveniently. And then this is an emergency that would last something on the order of 3 to 5 days. Is that correct?
Correct.
And we would be without electricity, so we'd need to keep our freezers closed so as to avoid losing the food that's inside. Of course, we get hungry in the meantime and have to eat it. Some of it may thaw, so we may have to figure on how to consume part of it during this period of time. Now, is there anything else that we should bear in mind with regard to this particular hazard?
Well, what you must bear in mind is that this is something that comes around periodically, like every 24,000 years. And I don't mean to make light of that. This is a natural phenomenon. It can be played with, if you will, and your scientists are really playing with it. And you will note that they are telling you that there are one or two or three other planets coming into your solar system, and all to do is made about it, and great mysticism is put forth. The thing I want to impress upon all listeners is that this is ridiculous. There is nothing, including God, that doesn't have a reasonable explanation. Don't turn to mysticism. Wearing a purple shirt is not going to save your eyes. On the other hand, taking reasonable caution and being prepared can save both your eyes and your life.
Now, is there any mortal danger other than loss of sight that is involved? In other words, if we are out between here and Reno and we are subjected to intense light, we could presumably stop the car and cover our heads to keep light out of our eyes. But if we are in a vehicle, for example, are we going to be subjected to any other kind of potential damage?
Should not. I say should not because if, in fact, your people ignite that radioactive belt, two things will happen. This will release radioactivity into the atmosphere, which by next year should be falling out anyway. You have so much radioactivity in the atmosphere now. And you think gravity is something that pulls you. It is not. Everything seeks its own density, and therefore heavier particles will fall out of the finer atmosphere onto Earth. And right now, all of you are undergoing radiation poison anyway. It's already falling out on you from all the testing, all of the remarkable things that you, as Earth people, have done. This is not to frighten you. If you are in a car, lean over and bury your face. Do that first. Just pull to the side, stop, and bury your face. This should be a cold blast of light. It should not be heated, as in an atomic blast that burns also.
Yes.
Although, if they ignite the radioactive belt simultaneously with this, heat can be created, and of course the ideal thing is to protect yourself from it.
And protecting oneself from the cold light would presumably protect us some also from heat radiation.
Oh, yes. Yes. And you will find from the Hiroshima and Nagasaki explosions of atomic energy, ones who were just protected even by cloth sometimes were not burned.
Yes, and I think our own atmospheric tests at the Nevada test site showed that cloth, although if you had a dark spot on a cotton blouse, for example, it would burn through.
Well, yes.
As the white would reflect and give protection from the radiation of heat that otherwise would burn. They used mannequins instead of people, but you could see the effect from the video or the motion pictures that they took at that time.
Yes.
Well, let us turn then to one of our subjects. Let me introduce our guest a little further. This is a quote from one of the journals that is available here in Carson City at Marianne's Place. This is a quote out of journal number 8 from page 4. You in America must save your nation from dictatorship and bank ownership. That means you must save your Constitution and bring your nation and the vipers who have stolen it into and under control, unquote. Now, this is one of the reasons why I've asked Commander Hatton to come on the air with us, because there appears to be a community of interest here with regard to the importance of saving our Constitution. Those of us in Nevada who have studied it a bit can see many of the advantages of that, but what might be worthwhile to explain to our listeners is why saving our Constitution has an important effect upon planet Earth. Commander Hatton, could you take that one?
Yes. I don't want to offend Northern Germany, for instance, or Southern Greece. I don't want to get into religious factors here until we're into a subject like that. But you ones are going to have to understand that even religions have been corrupted. And your globe is now coming under control of the what we refer to as the elite cartel, or the planners of Plan 2000. Now, we have discussed all of this in the journals, so I know I'm going to lose a lot of readers or listeners right now because they're not going to understand.
Well, hasn't Dr. Coleman written a book that covers a good bit of this?
Yes, and
Marianne has copies of that available too.
I have brought at least 5 volumes on business, etc. myself. Dr. Coleman's is the one that I recommend because it confirms everything that I have told you.
Right.
And it is from Earth Research. Ones somehow don't care for a disembodied voice that has to have a translator. But nonetheless, we're stuck with that at this particular time. Now, what we're talking about is a constitution which was built and a nation founded under God. Now, mind you, I did not say Jesus. I might well have said Jesus had they literally not come up with that particular name until after the young man that was the master teacher was already away from Jerusalem. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, labeled him Jesus, but much later while he traveled in Greece. So let's put that aside. Do not confuse when I use the term Christ to Jesus. Jesus Christ is perfectly suitable as long as you know what you're saying. But when the United States of America, or let us just say the Americas, was founded, it was chosen by God as a place to bring forth and hold forth the light of freedom upon a foundation whereby the world would have guidelines. And it would be the shining example. And this happened. Immediately, it was recognized there were errors in your constitution, which were rectified basically by your so-called Bill of Rights. After the Bill of Rights, you could junk it. But up through the Bill of Rights, this was written by your founding fathers to give freedom.